Hello, and welcome to a very special bonus episode of the Lions Led by Donkeys podcast. With me today is nobody. It's just me, Joe. We're trying something new. We've been doing pretty much the same formula for over 2 years now, and we wanted to try what could possibly become a normal third bonus episode every month. And that is what I'm calling Donkey U, because you can call anything a university and get away with it, apparently. It's going to be a series where I review incredibly bad historical arguments put forward by columnists, talking heads, journalists, any other shitheads who happen to make the mistake of attempting historical revisionism in order to push an incredibly harmful version of history that is detached from reality. I should point out this won't be a space that I'll be using to attack people for ignorance on a subject, but decide to open their mouth anyway. That's just kind of how people are. I'm not going to do a windmill dunk on the Fisher-Price basketball hoop that is punching down on Twitter Nazis or tankies. They really aren't going to harm anyone because they don't have an audience. This is going to be a space for attacking people who are given a mainstream or large audience and use that to vomit harmful ideas onto people that don't know any better or mean to twist the fabric of history to fit whatever destructive purposes they mean to put forward. And just so anybody knows what exactly we're dealing with, here is an out-of-context drop from today's episode.
Adolf Hitler was no nationalist. He was an imperialist.
So in case you probably figured out or did not figure out, we're talking about PragerU, something that I thought I would never be talking about again. If you'd like to know more about PragerU, and you shouldn't, you can go back and listen to our regular episode on the subject from probably about a year or so ago, and watch me forever taint my YouTube algorithm that has still not yet recovered. The PragerU video that we're going to be going over today, it's about 5.5 minutes long. If you really want to watch it, be my guest. But you've probably already seen some Facebook boomers share it. It's called Why You Should Be a Nationalist. And it's hosted by a guy named Yoram Hazony, a person I had previously never heard of, which is pretty rare for PragerU. I generally keep a tabs on the various growing cast that they hire. But I had to look up Hazony. He's a philosopher and prominent Israeli nationalist who has written more than a few things on the subject, all of which are bad. His magnum opus, and most certainly the book that he was meaning to pimp by being on this show, is called The Virtue of Nationalism. I did not read this book, but because, of course I didn't, but thankfully book reviewers punished themselves for me, and I can use the reviews. The only positive review I could find is by the National Review. To the surprise of absolutely nobody, the outlet that employed someone who helped fuel a genocide like Elliot Abrams and someone who championed one like Ben Shapiro might have a positive take on a shit tome of nationalism. Every other reviewer quickly points out that Hazony does not seem to understand what words mean. Something that became obvious within about 30 seconds of this 5 minute long video that I forced myself to watch and then read the transcripts. In case you were wondering, there's also a test you can take on PragerU's website for all of their videos. This entire argument, which we will go into, is based upon a list of definitions and terms that he simply does not seem to understand. Or more accurately and more likely, he's purposely framing incorrectly to make his argument that he knows that people already have negative thoughts of, that being nationalism, in order for it to make sense and sanitize it. There's going to be some rough shit coming through this video, so I'm going to lead with a disclaimer. At no point do I mean to say that Hazony is a Nazi. Hazony is a Jewish man who happens to be a nationalist. You can be a nationalist and not be a Nazi, but you cannot be a Nazi and not be a nationalist. The two are connected. What he's trying to do is dance around the subject of Nazism in general, being explicitly nationalist so he can divorce the popular and correct image of nationalism from Nazism. So this video is from 2018, as the UK was attempting to figure out how to do Brexit for seemingly the 30th year in a row, and he constantly brings up that Brexit takes away national sovereignty, which is not a thing that it does, much like being in the UN has not made us part of a one-world government, which he also talks about. He brings up the rise of the reactionary right-wing nationalist parties throughout Europe and the rest of the world, to include the United States, as a positive. Something that, normal people should look on in horror from. He says, quote, Many see this nationalist revival as a great danger of our time, fearing that nationalism will take us back to a more primitive and racist past. Thankfully, we don't have literally decades of history to show us that's exactly what that means, and have had 2 years since this video has been made to see exactly that that is what happened. Oh, don't worry though, he has a collection of world leaders that will show you that this just isn't the case. Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt, David Ben-Gurion, Mahatma Gandhi, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher recognize what I will call the virtues of nationalism, which is the title of his book. I'm not going to go into every single person on that he just listed as a virtue of nationalism. I think most people listening to this are pretty familiar with the awful things that Ronald Reagan did. And if not, like, you should be. He led death squads, sponsored a genocide, and illegally sold weapons to foment a war and kill women and children, and almost certainly introduced drugs into the streets of the United States in order to persecute black people. It's also a little weird that Gandhi is included here, as he was never head of state, but I guess I can dunk on him too, because he was actually a pretty bad person. Gandhi was a gross old man who slept naked with underage girls, though he swears he did this to preserve his chastity. Take from that what you will. I don't think I could libel a dead guy, but yeah. He was also a huge racist and was pretty much sold on the concept of apartheid in South Africa. When he was living in South Africa, he wrote to the Natal Parliament saying, quote, "The general belief seems to prevail in the colony that the Indians are a little better, if at all, than savages of the natives of Africa." Yikes. He also openly used the K word, that being the shitty Afrikaans version of the American N word, so I will not use it. He used this word pretty much extensively instead of saying Africans or Zulu or literally any actual ethnic group in South Africa. He exclusively referred to them as the K word. And he said that Indians and black people should be separated. He also blamed a plague outbreak in the early 1900s on black people. Gandhi was also very much on the Hitler train, writing letters to friends about how he didn't seem as bad as everybody said he was. For the Americans, we have Woodrow Wilson, a terrible racist who once had a civil rights activist named William Monroe Trotter removed from the White House, almost by force. This happened after Wilson spearheaded unprecedented segregation within federal offices, which he saw as a benefit to African Americans. When Trotter pointed this out, that this entire idea is insane and racist and discriminatory against black people, Wilson had him removed from the meeting. There's also that time he aired probably what is the most well-known American-made racist propaganda film, The Birth of a Nation. He screened it in the White House. Yep. Now then, we have Teddy Roosevelt. He was a eugenicist, thought Native Americans were savages, and thought African Americans were subhumans that did not belong in America. Many people will point out that he was anti-slavery, which is true, but it's because he was so racist, he didn't think that black people should be in the U.S. at all, even as slaves. He also advocated the mass murder, verging on genocide, of the native people of the Americas. He once said, quote, "I don't go so far as to think that the only good Indian is a dead Indian, but I believe about out of every 9 or 10 are, and I shouldn't care to inquire much about the case of the 10th. The less said about Margaret Thatcher, the better, but I won't, because that's why we're here. She once famously said during a speech, quote, "People are really rather afraid that this country might be swamped by people of a different culture." In doing so, she courted the vote of the main supporters of the British National Front, weakening them by openly making racism an official Tory policy, something I'm comfortable saying continues to this day. People will claim that Thatcher defeated the NF, something that they champion, that she defeated the neo-Nazis, but fail to understand that she managed to reduce their electoral power by absorbing their voting base into hers by adopting racist populism. She effectively internalized the Rivers of Blood speech by Enoch Powell as party policy. Enoch Powell, by the way, Thatcher called him her favorite parliamentarian of all time. She also oversaw war crimes in Northern Ireland, the contaminated blood scandal of the NHS, and crushed miners' unions. She sold off massive parts of the British social safety net, which has not recovered, as well as utilities to private sectors that were then run into the ground. Now, I bring up all the worst aspects of some of these people, and I'm not going to go, like I said, I'm not going to go into all of them because that would just be a rogues gallery of pieces of shit. I bring up all the worst aspects of these people because, remember, he said these were the examples of the virtues of nationalism. These are his shining examples of his benevolent nationalism. This is important because of his next point. Quote, so what is this virtue? A nationalist believes that the world is governed best when nations are free to chart their own independent course, cultivating their traditions and pursuing their interests without interference. Nationalism is not about racism. The one thing every single one of those examples of virtue that we just talked about was explicitly racist and violent. Most of them were engaged in wars or policies at various points of their political, military, or activist careers that specifically oppressed and stole land from native people. Some, like Teddy Roosevelt, openly supported genocide. That seems like interference to me. After this, he lays out what he sees as the only two choices that we have to make as a government. That is a nationalist one, his nationalist one, or a globalist one. And when I say globalist here, I mean like the Alex Jonesian one world government globalism. He even represents it with a bad knockoff of the Earth flag from Futurama. He also claims that since the fall of the Berlin Wall, the side of the one world government has been dominant. And he also frames that like all of the problems of that one world government were based upon the Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union, but fails to explain how those problems did not go away since the collapse of the Soviet Union. It's almost like he's bending facts. Also, he doesn't cite anything throughout this movie because it's PragerU. He says this without producing any evidence is how any of this could be possible. And the last time I checked, the boogeyman of the UN took several years to get Europe to agree on what to call Macedonia, let alone flex its muscles and deploy blue-helmeted stormtroopers to enforce Agenda 21 or whatever. This is where the criticism of his books come back into play. He purposefully or ignorantly conflates the concepts of the nation-state with that of nationalism, as if the two are one and the same. This is easily disproven by understanding literally any part of history where empires, kingdoms, and other countries have popped up totally detached from a centralized and rigid idea of national identity. It's important to understand what he means by national identity, which he, like everybody else who probably listens to too much Joe Rogan, calls tribalism. He specifically says, quote, our strongest loyalties are to those who are closest to us, to our family, then our larger community or tribe, in quotations, and finally to the nation. I do not think it's incorrect to say the quiet part out loud for Hazzoni, as he seems unwilling to do so himself. Nobody is using the word tribe unless they mean it to mean a very, very specific thing. You wouldn't consider your suburb or apartment building or anything you would rightfully consider your community a tribe. And Hazzoni is certainly not arguing that, or he probably would have said it. It's very obvious that he's using the word tribe to mean people who share the same culture and religion and almost certainly are the same race as you. What we know to be the modern concept of race is thought to have begun during the Scientific Revolution, and that's generally thought to have begun in the early to mid-1500s with a book published by Copernicus. While national identity or nationalism is generally thought to have begun in the 1800s or sometimes 1700s, depending on who you read. Either of these dates conflicts with Hazzoni's ideal that unless you think nations did not exist before those dates, which in that if that's the case, I can't help you. Even what he considers the idea of nationalism, following the law, working towards a greater good, etc., all began before the concepts of nationalism, race, and superseded by this bullshit random tribalism fact that he drops in. Rome was a multi-ethnic empire and a republic at various points that had citizenship, benefits, and social welfare structures. And Rome was not alone in the ancient world in building a functioning, advanced society divorced from the idea of a racial monoculture. You can see other multicultural spreads of society through empires like Alexander the Great or Genghis Khan, who spread and flourished simply because they absorbed those of those conquered people. They absorbed cultures and practices in order to strengthen the whole. Race, culture, and, quote, tribe did not matter. As Greek author Theodorus put it, quote, neither sea nor intervening continent are bars to citizenship, nor are Asia and Europe divided in their treatment here. In your empire, all paths are open to all. Obviously, every empire I named did tons of awful shit. And I'm not defending that. But awful shit is what turns the gears of history. But their existence disproves this idea that a nation, empire, whatever you want to call it, cannot exist without a giant monoculture and monoracial society that he is obviously calling for. What is the counter to Hazzoni's benevolent nationalism? Well, don't worry, he has an idea. Quote, "The only alternative to this kind of community and nation-based politics is to use force, to coerce obedience. In the 20th century, the communism and Nazism both sought to impose a universal vision at gunpoint. Both the communists and Nazis were imperialist. They wanted to eliminate the independent nations of the world." We'll skip over the Nazis were imperialist, therefore can't be nationalist for a second, to openly wonder about what nationalist government he could possibly be referencing that didn't do these things. I'm wondering, because he never fucking points one out, because they don't fucking exist. I will wait for Hazzoni's very measured response of a single nationalist government that did not coerce its citizens or the citizens of another territory by force. So instead, we'll look at the virtues of nationalism that he has already talked about. Every single one of them used force of arms to oppress and subjugate people of a different race or nationality, and to force them into their borders. In Roosevelt's case, he actively encouraged a genocide. While Thatcher didn't commit a genocide against the Irish, and I don't know if I can legally say she would have done it if she thought she could have got away with it, because she would have, she did unleash SAS death squads onto the people of Northern Ireland and watched on, doing nothing as Irish prisoners of war died via hunger strikes because of their conditions. Those things certainly seem like they happened at a barrel of a fucking gun. And if you think this can't get worse, it's because this is where he tries to tiptoe around this little issue that we'll call the Hitler in the room. Quote, "For nearly 400 years, the principle of national independence served as the foundation for a better, freer world. But World War I and World War II changed everything. Traumatized by these catastrophic conflicts, many now seek comfort in simplistic narrative, ceaselessly repeating that, quote, nationalism caused two world wars and the Holocaust." That's a quote within a quote. Because it literally fucking did. Nationalism is what sparked the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Without nationalism, the Black Hand would have a fuck-all reason to shoot him. Gavrilo Princeps did not shoot him because he did not like him. He shot him because he was a Serbian nationalist, you absolute mustache fucking donut. Now, he's also so bad he couldn't even explain away everything that happened. He left out two entire genocides that were caused by nationalism within the same time frame that happened before the Holocaust, that being the Armenian and the Assyrian genocides, both directly caused by Turkish nationalism. The most amazing part of this entire quote is he obviously is attempting to divorce the Holocaust from its roots in German ethno-nationalism, because the quote ends with our out-of-context drop from the very beginning of the episode. Quote, "Adolf Hitler was no nationalist. He was an imperialist." This is fucking absurd, and it goes against previous brain-dead PragerU episodes. In a previous episode, convicted fraud Dinesh D'Souza hosted a video called "Is Fascism Left or Right?" Spoiler alert, it's right. Where his argument rests on the idea that fascists must be left-wing because Nazis were fascists and called their particular brand of fascism National Socialism, which means socialism is now fascism. Because they called themselves socialists, that makes them socialists. Much like North Korea is the freest place on earth because they call themselves the Democratic People's Republic. In case anyone didn't know, the other part of that Nazi name was national, meaning nationalists. So using PragerU's own dumbass arguments, Adolf Hitler was a nationalist. His idea that you can't be a nationalist and an imperialist at the same time is never fully explained and is easily proven wrong by those pesky world wars he so desperately is trying to ignore because it makes his entire worldview collapse into a pile of genocides he doesn't want to look too hard at. The concept that Hitler was not a nationalist or a racist in general or racists in general can't be nationalist is something he doesn't even try to explain. He simply says it and then moves on, hoping you don't notice how dumb it is, because this is PragerU, and he never cites a single source to refute literally decades of research that have gone into the rise of Nazis. It's also skipping over the entire fact that ethno-nationalists are a thing currently killing people in the United States. Again, I'm not floating the idea that Hazzoni's a Nazi, but he is clearly attempting to divorce nationalism from Nazism so he can make it nice and clean so people who stumble across this video via YouTube's poisoned algorithm or share it through boomer brain Facebook feel comfortable consuming it. if there was only something easily accessible via a simple Google search that could disprove this unsighted argument from this fucking idiot. Oh, shit, there is. It's actually the 25-point program of the Nazi Party as proclaimed by Adolf Hitler on February 24th, 1920, which happens to be the first Google result when I Googled Nazi Party platform. Sure, it's from Wikipedia, but this is still doing more research than Hazzoni did. And you can follow those the citations in Wikipedia back to a digital primary source. If you didn't know how to do this already, you now know how to finish your undergrad in history. You're welcome. The first point of these 25 points, actually the first three, sound absolutely in line with Hazzoni's benevolent nationalism. Point one, we demand the unification of all Germans in Greater Germany on the basis of people's right to self-determination. We could argue that that's their community, right? Or their quote-unquote tribe, yeah? Two, we demand equality of rights for the German people in the dealings with other nations and the abolition of the peace treaties at Versailles and Saint-Germain. Almost like, you know, sovereignty and equal rights of your community, yeah? Cool. Point three, we demand the land and territory for the sustenance of our people and the colonization for our superfluous population. Okay, that seems imperialistic because you want colonies, but also this is still on track for Hazzoni's benevolent nationalism. This all sounds great. I love equal rights for my community and or tribe, right, Hazzoni? But wait, what if someone isn't a member of my community and or tribe? Part four, but none but members of the nation may be citizens of the state. That seems exclusionary. Oh, wait, it gets worse. None but those of German blood, whatever creed they may be, no Jew, therefore, may be members of the nation. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Our benevolent nationalism turned into genocide. So weird how this keeps happening, Hazzoni. It's almost like nationalism, using tribes or communities and borders that Hazzoni loves so much, always leads back to built-in racism that he happened to try to cut away like a shitty ahistorical Dr. Nick. But this is what PragerU does. They make large, sweeping ideas that ignore history or scientific fact while citing absolutely nothing. They do this so they can publish an idea that they know if the viewer or listener had an expansive knowledge base or even in the intention of researching this a little on their own, would almost certainly discover that they were full of shit. So they packed their venom into tight 5-minute long videos with no sources in a format that would not meet the standards of a high school history paper. So idiots like me can spend the last, 23 fucking minutes trying to disprove after 5 hours of research. Fuck!